is sweating.
I'm glad yours was caught on camera.
Me too.
Mine wasn't.
Yeah, no, it's a little fucked up. She pressed record while she said her titties are sweating. No.
You had a full countdown. You could have stopped yourself.
No, do you know me at all? Of course I couldn't stop myself. And then I had to chime in saying, your titties are sweating. My fucking ass is sweating. And we have been recording. So welcome to another episode of Don't Blame Me, where we titty sweat and ass sweat give you the most wonderful, amazing, life-changing advice that will change your life. Hopefully for the better. You know, sometimes we give out tough love. Sometimes we will coddle you if you ask. Though we don't get a lot of people who are like, I'm so sensitive. And then they're like, I killed someone with my car. Please be on my side. Like, usually people are saying, like, I'm really sensitive. Like, go easy on me. Please be nice to me. Am I, like, this is what I'm going through. Like, everyone in my life is, like, turned into a vampire. And they're all, like, trying to ruin my life. Like, are you on their side? And it's like, no.
No.
Of course not. Grab some garlic. Wave that around.
Garlic.
I saw elephant garlic for the first time at...
Oh, yeah, that's a big bitch. But I hear it's not as flavorful.
I wouldn't think so, because anything, yeah, like, it's like when you have a tomato too big, anything, even if it's not genetically modified, mm-hmm, just tends to, the ratio's off.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is a girthy little fucker. Like,
yeah,
it felt like it was like a tit implant size. I was like, how many cc's is this?
When everyone was gardening during the pandemic, I saw a lot of videos with that, I guess, because I was gardening as well. And now people are homesteading. I'm like, just call it gardening. Yeah. We don't need to put an old timey name on it. We've got a name that works perfectly fine.
And also, I wonder if those people are using the term homesteading in the correct manner, because true homesteading, you're one step away from, I don't trust the government and I've joined a militia. My children aren't vaccinated and we use an outhouse and we don't even get our electricity from we're off the grid.
There's this woman who lives in this gigantic house, who's a doctor, and I believe her husband might be a doctor too, that calls herself a homesteader. And I'm like, you're just gardening.
Also, don't take away those like terms from people who, like, their job is maintaining the home, raising whatever they're doing there. I'm like, you can't part time. You don't need everything. Like, let people have their own things.
Right.
Oh, I hate that.
I just started following her because I liked her house and I just wanted to see more of the house, because she clearly puts money into these videos, as she has aerial shots, drone footage of her house.
Oh my gosh. Wow. She's really like, she's like fully cosplaying.
Yes.
As like, ma'am, you have a full-time job.
Yeah. Yeah. Her husband is a doctor too.
Oh my God. Their house is huge. Oh, these are.
They go out on their little boat.
What the fuck? Wait, that's actually great. That's not who I had followed. Because I was about to say, the person I followed, the homesteading, I actually believe this person would homestead, in the sense that, like, I believe that this person, if they like saw a deer on their land, they're like, I shot and killed it, and then I carcassed it, and then I cooked it. Like, I have followed her from one fucking video, and in that video, I know if the apocalypse happened, I would trust to go to her fucking house, and we'd be fucking fine.
Yeah.
And like, she'd have a bunker, and like, shit would get done. Also, because like, in her one of her videos went viral, I need to fucking find her. And she...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
She was like, let me just give a little PSA for before people follow me. She goes, if you're a man, don't follow. If you're following me, unfollow. I don't fucking want you here. And I was like, and I'm intrigued. So yeah, we give you advice. Sometimes we shit talk. We also have a Patreon if you want to watch the video version of the podcast. You can also join our Patreon just to support us because we also do live streams twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
Me figuring out when we're doing our next one. That was me looking at mine.
Yeah. I mean, we have to catch up from last month.
So. February is hard for everybody.
It is. And I was going through things.
And we're all very understanding there. So how this podcast works is we listen to your voicemails and we read your emails and messages telling us about the predicaments in your life, and we do our very best to help you out. So if you would like to be on an upcoming episode, you can send us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. International listeners, you can send us an audio message to meganpodcast@gmail.com. And you can also send us a written out, typed out email to same email address, or you can slide into our DMs. It is all anonymous, so don't worry about that. You can use a voice change. We've had people use voice changers before if you need
to. If you use the TikTok voice changer, download the video and then send us the audio.
There you go. Pulling Anna Delvey up in here. So it has to be under 3 minutes if you are recording a voice memo or you are leaving us a voicemail, and under 300 words if you are writing it out in the DMs or in a written email. We do ask that you include your age as well as anyone else who's like involved in this, their ages, pseudonyms for everybody, and give us as much detail as you can, as many details as possible, because that's the way that we'll be able to give you the best advice. So if there's like an important backstory to like why we feel a certain type of way or whatever that is, please include that, because we got to get a recap. We got to get the chapters 1 through 12, if that's what we're on. We can hate someone, we can love someone, but you got to give us the reasoning behind it. And let us know if you're sensitive, as always. We'll help you with anything, even if we have no personal experience. And we're comfortable if we're wrong. We're learning a lot.
Yeah, I think we've learned a lot over the years.
Yeah, specifically, I think we've learned. This sounds so weird. I was like, specifically, I do think we're a lot better at giving lesbians advice now.
Mm-hmm.
That was when we're like a blind spot for the both of us, not for our audience. And our audience has been like, let's help these straighties out. We're eternally grateful.
Your straight is showing.
Exactly.
Well, today we have an update. So this episode was from January 29th.
Okay, so I originally called a few months ago about my sister and her supposed boyfriend, who they've been together for going on a year and a half now, and he's broken up with her so many times. He's like manipulative and toxic, and like no matter what I say, she just doesn't listen to me. She dismisses like any concerns I bring up. All of her friends say that they don't like him. My family doesn't like him. And it's like, she just thinks that I'm making stuff up because I don't like him. And no matter what, it's like, he's amazing. He's like, even if he does something bad, she's like, well, he's getting better now. It's fine.
Okay.
So yeah. And like, y'all gave a lot of really good advice back in January. So like, I sat down with her recently. And it was after he came to visit where he surprised her for her birthday without, like, we live together, and he didn't think, oh, maybe I should let her know that I'm going to show up out of nowhere. And he knew we had plans that night, and he just came. And then I was put in the position of, like, can he like stay? Can you like hang out with us? Because like we had plans. I was like, it's your birthday. Like, I don't want to be that asshole. And then he was like, he ignored her all night. He was rude to her. He was like criticizing her. Like, it's her, like, really, it's her birthday. And you're just going to like be all rude. And then he ended up staying for like 4 days when it was only supposed to be 1 to 2, where she like completely disappeared and just like spent all of her free time helping him study instead of celebrating her birthday.
How far away does he live?
He's like 3 hours away.
So he could have been using those 3 hours to study, 6 hours driving to and fro. Okay, continue.
Yeah, so before, because he's further away, she kept visiting him and he was like, I don't want to make the drive. I don't want to make the drive. But like every 2 weeks she was driving to see him. And now all of a sudden he can come here. But for most of the time, she always like makes the effort to see him instead of the other way around. And then after he leaves, I waited like a couple days and then I sat down with her and like brought up a lot of the points that you guys made and like tried to make it clear that I wasn't trying to like attack her or not like even attack him, but just like bringing up all the concerns that I had as much as possible in like the nicest way, because she's pretty sensitive, and like making it clear that like I wasn't going anywhere, like no matter what he does. But she just got really upset and like said a lot of things that I already mentioned about how like I'll just make stuff up because I don't like him, and like just missed all of my concerns, and then said something like, well, this is my life. I am going to do what I want. I'm going to spend my time how I want. Like, it's none of your business. So then like from now, I don't really like know what else to do. But he visited us again after we talked and stayed for a week, which was not fun. But he was making like rude comments towards me about like personal things with me and my sister that he had no business getting in the middle of. And then he thought something was funny, so he was sharing a story with me and like telling me that I was wrong about something when I knew that I was right, and like wouldn't let it go and could see that I was really upset about it and just kept going. And then I ended up leaving the situation after I tried to leave a few times, and my sister was like, why would you do that? That's rude. So I kept listening to him. And then I ended up finally leaving towards the end when he was almost done. And then she got really upset at me for being rude to him, and then made me feel like I had to apologize, which I somewhat did. And she was like, thank you so much. I really needed that. Yeah.
I'm speechless. So I was going to say something, but it would be needed to be cut out. So I'm just going to say it when we're signing off, because it's something like very nasty that I want to say, but I'll tell it to you after when we're not recording. But like, to me, this is like, I think you also have a sister problem at this point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have a problem with him, but like, if she's going to let him treat you like shit, then it's like, that to me is like, that's a hard line. Like, I've let guys treat me like shit. The second they treat someone I care about like shit, like, that becomes like a, oh, no. Like, I'll tolerate the bullshit, but like, I won't let you do that to someone who I love and care about and who like loves and cares about me. Do you guys still live together?
We do. And I moved from another state because she asked me to.
Oh my.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And also it came up recently where he was saying like, oh, we can live together when your lease is up. And then like 5 minutes later, I was like, actually, wait, no, we can't do that.
Is he in school virtually?
He's in school in person.
How is he staying for, was it spring break?
Yeah, it was spring break.
Can you give me 8? How old are you? How old is your sister and how old is he?
I'm 26. She just turned 24 and he's 25.
Okay. This is going to be like a controversial thing, and I don't even necessarily think that you'll do it, but I do kind of think you need to let your sister like fall flat on her face, because this is like a level of digging your heels in to the point where like she's harming her other relationships. So like, again, like I'm saying, like, I would let some guy treat me like shit, and I would like deflect if anyone said anything or whatever that was. But like, if I let him repeatedly treat the people in my life like shit, like, that's, I never got to that point whatsoever. And so like, I mean, I would say like, yeah, they can live together, and like she can see, because like right now she's getting him in these doses where sometimes with like long distance or like relationships where you don't see each other as much, like you get those rose colored glasses on, or it can be the opposite. Like the tensions are high because you only have so much like finite time together. That I'm sure for her, she thinks like any of their problems or whatever, like, oh, well, like it can be explained away by X, Y, and Z. Like, you don't see it like that. You don't know us like that. And it's like, okay, cool. So then like, I'm not going to be the person who just has to endure all of this shit. Like, if you want to put up with him, like, that's totally fine. But like, I don't. So like, we can't live together anymore. Like, that's like, I'm not going to tell you, you can't spend time with him, but like, I don't want to. So I'm going to separate myself from this. And then like, how good of a partner is he going to be when they're living together, just them two? And like, I get like wanting to like protect her from that, but it doesn't, I don't even know what else you could do to protect her from that.
Yeah, I was going to say that at this point, you've done every, you sat down with her. She knows how you feel. You've done everything that you can to show her this isn't a good person for you and he's not a good person for me. And he's coming in between us and it's affecting our relationship. So like at this point, you just kind of have to let it play out and step aside, and then she'll learn from that.
Yeah, because even her saying that, like, oh, you're making it, you're just saying all that because you don't like him. It's like, I don't like him because of all of this. Like, that, like, lapse in logic is fucking crazy to me. That it's just like, oh, she's so on the hyper defense that it's like, it's everyone in the world against us, like, all of this. And it's like, okay, if that's what you want and you want it, if you want that, like, you can have that. But like, right now, she's getting both. She's getting to like, and like, I don't know if she like still vents to you or talks to you about all that kind of stuff. Like, she's able to have the tumultuous highs and lows of a shitty relationship while still having the like constant of you and your life together when he's not around. So like, it gets really fucking exhausting if when that's what you have. And like, not that I'm saying you cut her off or like you don't speak to her or anything like that, but like, not living together. So like, she understands like what the full time is that she's signing up for, then like, that's what that is. Or like, not being the fallback, or if it's like, oh yeah, he's like, doesn't want to move in together yet, and it's like, okay, well, if we live together, he comes and visits, so like, I'm not interested in that, and like, I want to take some space. And like, yeah, I just think that some people are like committed to learning the lesson the hard way, and like, I've been like that, like, and it's unfortunate. And you know, I think you've said so much to her that she knows how much you like love and care about her, that like, if anything does happen in the relationship, when it inevitably blows up in her face, I don't think that she would feel like ashamed or embarrassed coming to you. And like, you can just wait to say, I told you so, for like a couple years. And then you can give the, I told you so, mm-hmm. this fucking man. Mm-hmm. He's 25.
Yeah. And I feel like he's still like super childish. Like, his parents take care of everything. He can't cook. I don't even know if he knows how to do laundry.
Oh my God. Is he like gorgeous?
No.
Oh my God.
How did they meet?
This is so bad.
She's friends with his little sister.
The little sister okay with that?
At first, yeah. And then they're not as close friends anymore. But like, when they first started texting, she was like, he's super weird. Maybe you should talk to him. I was like, no, I'm good. And now this is what happened.
You like weird people?
Why would that be like a selling point for you?
Apparently, I don't know.
Wow. Okay. Sounds like projecting, because I'm like, actually, it turns out this is apparently the perfect guy for her, because she's like, I think everything he does that's horrible is amazing. And you're like, that's fucking weird. So have her friends said anything?
A lot of them have. A few of them have been coming from guys who like maybe like her a little bit, so she doesn't really listen to everything that they say.
Sorry. She has other options lined up. And
are they better options?
At first, I thought the one that was really trying, I thought that he was, but then I met him and he gives like really weird vibes. And he's also way older than her. So,
oh, but, gross.
Yeah.
What the fuck is up with your sister? Like, this is, is this like her personality? Like, is she kind of like very stubborn usually?
I think so. But like, we've always been really close. So I feel like she usually listens to what I have to say and what like our mom has to say. But I think when it comes to guys, she just doesn't really care as much. Like, the last like few relationships she's had, I've met them and I'm like, they suck. And she completely ignored me and it turned out horrible.
Oh yeah. She just likes to learn things the hard way. Does it seem like she dates a lot of the similar looking guys?
I think they've all been very different. Like, one was like a water polo player. There was like a dude that joined the army.
Oh my God. Wow. She just loves to get her heart broken in variety.
Just figuring things out, you know, dating a little bit of everybody.
Does she still complain to you or talk to you about this?
She does. And even like telling me all of his friend drama, which like I don't care about, but I'm going to listen because she wants to tell me.
Yeah.
But yeah, she still tells me everything, which like I appreciate for the most part, because I think I would feel a lot worse if she was cutting me out from sharing all that stuff with me. But it's still exhausting. And it was even like exhausting before we lived together, because she would just call me all the time and tell me like when he was breaking up with her every other week. But now, like when it's in person, I can't escape it. And now he's like visiting here. It's a lot.
Yeah. As someone who has sisters and also lived with their sister, it's rough at points, but then it got better. And I have faith that it'll get better.
So Melissa, would you advise to like put a null to the conversation? Because like I think without a doubt you have to.
I mean,
not
I always made it known that I hated this one dude. I made it known. I never tried to be friendly with him ever in life. Still to this day. And eventually something happened where she reached the point where she realized that he was a piece of shit. And then that was the end of it. And now she's with like someone that I absolutely adore. Like she's been married to him for 11 years now, I think. So
I would move out and I would be like, we can't live together anymore. Like, I love you, but like, you know, I don't like him. I don't like being in the same vicinity as him. So like, that is my boundary. And then when like the next time she calls you to like complain about him or whatever, it's like, okay, so before we get into this, like we both know that I hate him. So whatever you tell me, I'm still going to hate him. And I still really hate him. And like, I think he's a bad person. And like all of these things he's doing to you, like it clearly fucking sucks.
Exactly how I was. Like, yeah. I never let it slip that I might ever like him in life. No, I absolutely could not stand that man.
Yeah. I don't think your job as a sister is to be a silent listening ear for this, because like, she already knows how you feel about him. So if she's still talking to you about it, it's because she's not withholding that from you, because she already knows how you feel. So she's comfortable giving you more ammo to hate him and like all this other shit about him. So like, you're on the same page with her. So it's like, I don't think you need to just be quiet and like listen and be there for her, because she's still going to you knowing how you feel. If she wanted a quiet listening ear, she would go to someone who's going to like, who's unbiased or who thinks that he's a great guy or whatever. So it seems like she just needs to like fall on her face and watch it, and then hopefully what will happen with this one, it will break the cycle of all the other shitty guys that she's dated, and this will be the end. Like this will be the pinnacle. This will be the climax of it, and then it's gonna get better from it. But I think it needs to explode before it repairs.
Yep, and that's what happened in my situation.
I hate this for you.
Because the thing is, you love your sister and you want the best for her, but there's only so much you can do.
Right.
Yeah. And it inevitably, like, I don't think your sister's going to end up with, like, a piece of shit guy. Like, we all learn the lesson. It just takes whatever amount of time. And unfortunately, ideally, she would have already learned it by now, but she hasn't. And so, like, this is it. It's like, you have to try and erase all of the past people she's dated, like, the pent-up frustration that you have of, like, still? Like, we're still going through these, like, horrible fucking shitty guys? And it's like, okay, this is it. Like, this is who it's going to be. And, like, you can't prevent her from learning that lesson, because then he won't be the last guy. Then there'll be, like, another one who comes along. Like, she has to want this to be done, not because everyone else in her life is, like, telling her that she needs to want it to be done. She has to like feel that for herself. And she will, when she realizes that like when she needs to count on him, and that's who she has, and that's who she's going to rely on when he can't be there for her the same way that you could or her friends could or all of that stuff. But I don't have a sister, so I can only imagine how hard that would be to like kind of like release that and like watch someone like you love and care about. Yeah, like learn a lesson in a really painful way.
But you got this, and you're such a good sister, and doing everything that you should be doing. So good job on your part. Ugh.
And if anyone else who's listening has any other advice from this perspective, send it into a Don't Blame Them so we can maybe crowdsource some more. Frustrating for everybody involved.
Yeah, including us.
Yeah.
Things will get better. Well, thank you so much. We're going to take a break.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Yamen Spa Styler Hair Tool that we both have. We have their blow dryer, and this is doing something that I've never once seen before on a blow dryer. It's got red light therapy, but the thing that I am the most excited about, because I literally just opened my package, it's got a scalp massager attachment. Like, what? What? Hello, my scalp is so incredibly excited. And as someone who has been a big fan of like Korean and Japanese beauty that I've like very much gone into, specifically skincare, and I've started dabbling into makeup, I just know that like hot tools. Oh, I'm sat. I'm ready and I'm primed, and my scalp cannot wait to be massaged.
I am literally sitting here with it in my hand as we're talking. It's so, first of all, it's well made. Like, it fits great in my hand. It's not too thick. I have tiny hands of a child, and it's not too thick in my hand. And then also the attachment for the massager is just so, like, I'm rubbing it against my hand and it's just so soft and flexible and just invigorating that I'm really excited to get this thing on this scalp.
I'm so excited because I have to say, blow drying your hair is, in diffusing your hair, all those things, it's a time-consuming process. So to be able to be like, let me take a break and treat myself, give myself a little head massage, do a little red light therapy, like, fantastic. Plus, it's lightweight, so your arm's not going to get so tired. Absolutely tired. And yeah, very ergonomic, fantastic.
Yamen is a leading Japanese beauty brand, blends modern technology with traditional beauty rituals to revolutionize the industry. Their U.S. brand portfolio includes Makanai Pure Beauty, MediLift, Mineral Air, and Yamen Tokyo, Japan.
To experience the future of beauty, you can visit yamenusa.com and use code BLAMEME for a 20% discount. That's BLAMEME at yamenusa.com. That's yamenusa.com for 20% off using our code BLAMEME. And we are back from our break, and it's time to get into the calls, the write-ins, the advice giving.
First one is a write-in.
Hi, Eminem. I'm 33 and use she, her pronouns. I'm asking for advice on if I should end a childhood friendship. I've known Lucy, she, her, for 20 years. Ugh, this one's hard for me because I have a friend named Lucy and I love her. It all started in 2019 when I got engaged to my now husband. I invited her and her quote unquote new group of friends, four girls, to my engagement party. It's important to note that I fully embraced her friends into my life. During my party, I noticed Lucy's friends kept themselves in a corner and acted like they didn't want to be there. I thought that was odd because I never had a problem with them. They were always nice to me and I considered us friends. 2 months later, I saw Lucy out with them celebrating one of their birthdays. I was surprised and sad to see that I wasn't invited. This became a pattern. I was constantly left out of any plans and I would find out they were hanging out on social media. I was so hurt and confused. I took a huge setback from my friendship with Lucy. We reconnected 2 years ago and had a long conversation about everything. She apologized and said that they never thought to invite me and she regrets going along with it. Flash forward to now, Lucy has had a few celebrations within the past year. I attended every single one of them. I put away my hurt feelings and forgave her friends. I felt hopeful and thought things were getting back to normal. I recently hosted Friendsgiving at my house and I invited Lucy and those friends. All of them promised to be there and none of them came. I feel so silly for thinking things were different. What should I do? I'm a Leo and Lucy is a Cancer. Thank you.
These people weren't your friend. They never were your friends. And it may seem like that they were because of proximity. I have friends of friends that like we can all hang out together when we're invited to the other, like our actual mutual friends things. But then I wouldn't invite, I mean, they don't invite me to their other things and I wouldn't invite them to mine. I like them fine enough and I consider them like associates. Some of them like have me on their close friend list on Instagram, but like we're not hanging out. And I think if you're not hanging out with people without the mutual friend, then that makes it kind of like not your friend. Like if you never had like one-on-ones with them, but like your actual friend is an asshole for this. She should have included you, especially after you had like the talk and then them not showing up for your Friendsgiving is just messed up. So messed up. Like I can understand if one person canceled, but all of them canceled, even your like actual quote unquote friend, that's messed up. And then they didn't give you any information about them not being there. They're a bunch of bitches. They're not your friend, including your who you consider your actual friend. And I would just cut them off and move on.
Yeah, I would too. I very much relate to you in this, like Leo to Leo. I'm like, we are like loyal to kind of like a fault. And I have an issue, which I don't know if you, person who wrote in, for me, and I don't want to say it's an issue, but like it's only an issue when it is an issue. But for me, like if someone is friends with Melissa and Melissa's like, oh, I love this person, to me, I will talk to that person like I've known them my whole life because mm-hmm. like I view a lot of my friends like as a reflection and extension of me. And so therefore their friends, their family or all of that kind of stuff, like I can be way too familiar with people. And I have that issue with just anyone. If someone tells me they watched my content before, I'm like, oh my God, like, but I exchanged three words with a waiter.
It's a shortcut.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, best friends. We're cool. We have what we vibe. Like I just talk to everybody kind of like that. And I also sometimes have a hard time noticing if the people on the other end of that are like, whoa, that's not like my vibe. But I think it's like, I have friends who will keep me in check if it's like, oh, I think this is just like, I don't think they got your sense of humor. I don't, whatever. Like Leo has done that to me before where he's like, with love, you need to go talk to that person again. I don't think they got you. And I was like, what? They didn't get there. I don't think they knew you were joking. I think you need to go say something. And like, I'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry. And they'll be like, oh, totally. Didn't even realize it. Like, okay. So I think like you are being so like warm and generous to kind of like extend this. And I would be curious if you did like hang out with them, like what would you consider? Was this like there are more people in your friend group or is this her friend group that you've met and you know through seeing them at her birthday or like what mm-hmm. is that kind of relationship? Because I have been like very lucky that a lot of my friends have come from like I like Kyle has like groups of friends who like every time I see like we all mutually follow each other. I see them all the time. Like if we lived in the same place, I would be like, oh my God, come like to the beach for my birthday. Like, it's just that kind of like ease of relationship there. But in order to do that, the person who's like the mutual person has to really facilitate this. And it doesn't sound like Lucy ever facilitated that. Like, I think she just like let you kind of take the reins. And if it was something that they were like kind of odd about or like weird about and like weren't into, I think it's her responsibility to relay that information or to like work on the circumstance so you don't end up in a position like this where you feel like really, really shitty and silly. And I also think that like her kind of like, oh, I had no idea. Like, oh, like I shouldn't have gone along with it. Then to me, I'm like, okay, so are you acknowledging that you were kind of like excluding her from all of this? And then you're still friends with those people? Like that to me is also like a red flag. And I also think another red flag, if my friends don't get along with each other, and like the only time that that's ever really happens, I'm like, well, I know because I have the same problems with this friend. Like it's not, it should be like an easy thing. Like it should just be easy. So I can't say that like I maybe wouldn't have felt, depending on how much we hung out, you invite me to your engagement party, like I might feel like, wow, I'm surprised I'm invited, and I might feel a little nervous and I don't know as many people, so maybe I'm not socializing as much. But I think, you know, if that wasn't then communicated afterwards and it was like, oh, we had such a great time, thank you for inviting us, like that feels like a lot of mixed messages, and I don't think it's on you to necessarily decipher that. And I think you've given a lot of chances, and it's really hard to let go of a friendship that's been for a really long time. And I'm someone who, like, I'm so fiercely loyal. I sound like J-Lo. I'm so, like, fiercely, I'm fiercely loyal to the block. I'm so fiercely loyal to people that, like, I have a much easier time cutting off friendships with people that I don't know that well, or people who, like, are more recent into my life. But, like, once you've kind of, like, unlocked or achieved a certain status, like, I'm much more likely to put up with your shit because I am comfortable enough with you to tell you that, like, I have a problem with this because I know you well enough and I care about you that I think you would want to know. And I think you have the ability to change that, to apologize, to work on that relationship. That's a great trait to have, but it can't just be that. And that's something that I've had to learn, where it's like, okay, I always tell people how I feel. I don't hide that. But it's about like, okay, so how do they react to that? And then what is the action after that? Because at that point, it doesn't matter that what I've said, I've already said it, but that's not enough. Like, I need to know that was like taken in and things were changed. And it doesn't sound like she has. And I don't think that that's fair for you. And it's wasting a lot of, and like taking up a lot of your friendship, like quota and your friendship time. And it sucks. Mourning the loss of like a long friendship really sucks. And for someone to like prioritize people who you also might know that like, you're like, they wouldn't bleed out for you the way that I would. And it sucks because you can't tell someone. You can tell someone that, but they're not going to necessarily take that in. And a lot of people take friendships for granted. And this to me is like a clear indicator that the amount of like love and care that you can give to friends, like, is something that, like, I want that in a friend. Like, and they're taking up that space. Like, if it helps to be like, think of this, like, you're so awesome and such a good friend, and you're wasting it on these fucking losers when there's someone else who could be just as good of a friend back to you.
Yep.
So like now my standard of friendship is, I always say, like Melissa and Kyle level, you know, Melissa, yep, where it's like we're connected on a metaphysical, spiritual universe. Like we're in that.
It's so wild.
No, it's fucking, it's creepy. It's crazy. Yeah. Our astrological, we're the only sister signs.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Kyle is like someone who like I can say whatever to, like if he pisses me off, I can tell him he pissed me off, and he can like tell me that pissed, whatever it is. And like I'm usually not someone who can like fight and resolve, like I'm usually a good, but like we are very much like that. We can call each other out on our bullshit, and like Casey and I are the same way like that. And like I can, like Lily and I are all like, there's just, I hold people in my life to now the standard that sometimes people you've known for longer are not amounting to, but you don't realize it because you take the time as like a more important factor when it's so not.
Yep. Agree. All right. Next one.
Hey guys, I called already, but I just realized some of the things I said weren't clear. So I am a college student. I'm 24 years old. I'm about to graduate in the summer. I am planning on moving in with my boyfriend, which I've been with for 4 years. After I graduate, I'm currently living with my second older, the sister who's after me in college, since we go to the same school, and have a younger sister who's 18. I've been having issues with both of them because they seem to guilt trip me when I go over to my boyfriend's, which is an hour away, and they do stuff like sending me videos of how moms are not being appreciated and this and this and that. But this will do stuff like, my little sister found a pregnancy exam and she's threatening to show it to my parents. Well, I needed some advice on how to put up boundaries with that. I don't want to cut them off, but just talking to them sometimes causes me anxiety. Since sometimes if they know I'm with my boyfriend, they're sending me messages trying to make me feel bad for being over at his place instead of going home. My parents are not really fond of me being in a relationship. So another advice I wanted was how to let them know that I'm moving in with my boyfriend afterwards. They were kind of in denial of my relationship at the beginning, like in 2020 when I first started dating him. And doesn't seem to have been gotten better. They are strict Hispanic parents. They didn't want me to date until I graduated from college. And they would expect me to move in after marriage, but that isn't in our nearby future. It might happen later on, but we're just focusing on our relationship and just me graduating in general. So yeah, I just wanted advice on the helping with letting my parents know that I'm going to move in with my boyfriend and setting up boundaries with my sisters. Because if I do kind of just cut them off, they live with my parents. My sister, when we're going to graduate, she's going back to my parents. So yeah, thanks for the advice you're going to give me. Goodbye.
So you're the oldest.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. So 24 years old, living with my second older sister, like the one who's after me. So yeah, so mm-hmm. between 18, the second sister is between 18 and 24, because that's the youngest. Yeah. And youngest lives at home.
Yeah. This sounds like the same age difference with me and my sister.
Oh yeah.
My first question is, if you weren't dating your boyfriend, would they like him? Like, is he a good person? Are they, I'm just kind of thinking about the update that we had today. Like, is this actually like a good person and your sisters aren't, it's not that you're dating him. It's not that you're in a relationship. It's the specific relationship that you're in. I just want to get that out the way.
Yeah.
Let's assume that he's a good person and it's just because they're protective because you didn't give us any information about him. If they're being overly protective and don't want anything, your parents don't want you dating, just period, like for cultural reasons, then I think you just have to do what you want to do. Like at the end of the day, you do what you want to do. You don't have to unless you're just like, I need to cut them off or else nothing's going to get solved. You don't have to necessarily cut them off. You can just ignore them. Mm-hmm. Like I put my sisters in their places all the time. I argue with them all the time. We make up all the time, but like, that's still my sisters. I still, you know, there's a level of respect there, but like, sometimes we just get on each other's nerves. And so I just think what you have to do is just live your life and then they'll either follow or they'll just hold a grudge and you'll get over it. They'll get over it eventually.
Yeah. I don't want to read too much into the fact that you didn't tell us how old your boyfriend is, because if you're both graduating around the same time, you're around the same age, that totally makes sense to me. Because there's a lot of trepidation that you have here. And my thing is that, like, you've said that your parents don't like you dating him. Like, don't like you dating. Was that period point blank?
Mm-hmm.
They've been in denial of the relationship. They're not really fond of me being in a relationship. So, yeah, I don't know if this is purely just cultural. And I also wonder, like, for your siblings, it sounds like they're really trying to focus on the guilt thing. And how much did you like raise your sisters? Like, how much did you have to play that parent role? Even if you don't think you had to, even if you think that you chose to do that, it's not like a natural thing that kids choose to do, for the record. Like, it's something that like you see a need that needs to be met and you meet that need. So that, to me, them kind of like leaning in the more angle of guilt sounds like, not to pathologize, it sounds like, I'm assuming that's kind of what the dynamic has been, and that like they're really used to you taking care of them. And even if they are not acknowledging that outright, and you're really used to taking care of everybody, and it's really hard to then take care of yourself and prioritize yourself, because that's not the role that you've been allowed to have. Like, it's a very oldest sibling dynamic, like really often. So like Melissa said, like, is it about this relationship or is it about relationships as a whole? And also, like, how much of that is like maybe conservative, don't want people to live together until they're married, or a lot of it being like, we view you as someone who is like crucial to the functioning of our household. I think the cultural aspect, actually, I think both aspects, it's really none of their business, everything. Like, if you are paying for your own life, if you're not financially reliant on them for anything, I don't think you need to cut them off whatsoever, but you don't have to be super forthcoming and super outright with your life, what you're doing, the inner workings of everything. Like, you can do whatever you're comfortable with. And, you know, I think that it's hard, but I also would ask yourself, so like, you're worried about your sister even like telling your parents about that there was a pregnancy test that you took. Like, what would happen? Like, what are you worried about happening? Because I think if it's like, oh, they're paying for my grad school, I don't think, unfortunately, you can have it both ways. I don't think that you can live with your boyfriend and have sex with your boyfriend and then like, because siblings are going to rat on each other. Like, and then you'll rat on your sister for doing something else. Or maybe that's not how you work. But like Melissa said, like, you'll fight, you'll make up. Like, it's kind of that thing you can't count on. I don't think anybody to just like be a vault of secrets for that. Like, especially when it comes to like siblings, when they feel like you're abandoning them, even though you're not. But I think like if your ducks are in a row and like financially you don't rely on them for anything and you don't need anything from them, they're not providing anything from you, then I think that you take the relationship, these relationship steps in a way that you let them know when you've made your decisions and you don't ask them for their input on your decisions. And so I think like if you're easily swayed by what they want, if you're easily guilt tripped into that and you know that it's a healthy relationship, you know it's an appropriate age difference between the two of you and all of that, but you do know that like they're good at kind of guilt tripping you, then don't tell them until you've already signed the lease. Like, don't mm-hmm. tell them in a way that they can talk you out of doing things that are good for you. But I can't understand the cultural aspects of it. So if anyone has any other insight or input to it, but I do think regardless of that, if you rely on them for something, you unfortunately, whether you agree with like their ethos or their requirements, like you do have to abide by that. Like, and it sucks you can't have both. And it really sucks that like it's kind of impossible in a lot of cases to create boundaries with people until you are not reliant on them for anything. Because I'm not saying that like their love is conditional, but their pockets might be conditional. Like yeah. these other things might be conditional. And it's not permanent. So I don't think you're doing anything wrong. So I hope you like know that and like you're not abandoning anyone. And like you being on your own will be good for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Like you are an adult now. I think there are layers to adulthood. If you're still financially tied to them, then you can't be a full adult yet. But if you're not financially tied and you're going to be self-reliant in every way, then they just got to accept it. And then I feel like they believe that they're doing all this out of love, because it's different. It's not something that they're used to, like you being different than what they expect, but they'll eventually get over it.
Yeah. I think I think you need to reassure them, but that like they're not losing you. Just because you're doing things differently doesn't mean that like you're leaving and this is the end. Like it's everything's going to be fine. You're going to be good. Life is just going to be a little different.
And the thing that sucks about being the oldest is that you have to be the first that does everything. And then they're going to be so lenient on your youngest sister.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be like, I'm going to join the Peace Corps and I'm going to just travel with the Renaissance Fair. And like, they'll be like, sick. And you're like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right. So think of yourself as a pioneer. You're really breaking the mold and you're making it better for the next one. You're the first. Everything has to go through you first.
Yeah.
You're that important.
Yeah, you are.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And we are back from our break. And it is time to get into the rest.
Hey, Megan and Melissa. So I'm calling in about advice about my family. I live in the Midwest. I recently moved back from the Pacific Northwest, where it's like very liberal there. And obviously in the Midwest, it's very red and I'm having it all the time. And I'm really struggling with some family members and comments that they're making, obviously towards this awful, awful election that's going to come up. And I just need some advice on how to redirect conversations without, you know, screaming at them, because I know that is like not gonna do anything for them. Like they're just gonna completely ignore me if I just like blow up on them. So I want to like do it in a way that they'll understand and that's like respectful, but also a little like petty, because I love them, but they're annoying the shit out of me lately and I just like can't do it. So yeah, thanks. Love you guys.
You're talking to two rabble rousers.
Yeah, I was about to say, respectful is unfortunately not something I have a lot of experience with.
I like to cause good trouble.
Yeah.
And so I would come, if you want to be, I guess, nicer, come with straight facts and just deliver them very plainly. Like it's an everyday conversation. It's not like a, well, I heard this, or like you're like, oh, really? Yeah, that's interesting. And then just rattle off a fact about something. And they're like, where'd you get that information? And then you point them to your source. Keep a note, keep a whole like thing on your notes app. Be like, hey, I'll send you this thing that I read. And then it'll be like, well, that's fake news. And you're like, I like to see things from all sides. And this seems to be coming from a legitimate source. there's only so much you can do. You can't really like argue with people who their minds aren't going to be changed. At the end of the day, it's more about yourself. And then like, am I speaking up against things that I don't believe in? And if you have the capacity to do it that way, then do it. And if not, then I unfortunately just kind of got to walk away, because you can't argue with people who are willingly ignorant.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Similar to that, I was going to say, like, I think you have to categorize what the conversations are about. Like, if they're saying something like incredibly racist, transphobic, misogynistic, that to me is an automatic like, oh, hi, that's super racist. And I'm really not comfortable hearing this. If this is something that, would you like to retract that statement or learn a little bit more about like why that's super problematic? And if not, if you're set in your ways in this, like, I think we should change subjects. And I'm going to go to the next room. Like, I don't feel comfortable being around someone saying that, because I'm so just not cool with that. Like, making people feel silly and uncomfortable for what they're saying. And like, not just like, ooh, let me just dip out and leave. Like, you can say something there. And then it's like, you know, so then the other part is, if someone's saying something that is not true, and it's most likely in this case offensive, but it's not necessary, it's not like overtly offensive in a way like that. It's more, not even say nuanced, but more like if someone's talking about not talking about like specific people who immigrate to the US, but they're talking about border policies, they're talking about something that is like political jargon or whatever, and they're saying something that's just like not fucking true at all. The thing that I always say is like, very kindly, I'm like, would you be open to like changing your mind on this subject? Like, if you were presented with new information, like, is that something that you'd be open to? And a lot of people will be like, no, I don't give a shit. And it's like, oh, okay. So yeah, that's, you know, it's actually like, it can really like grates me when people are saying things that just like aren't true, and like they're not backed up by facts or evidence. That's like really, like you said, like, that's really something that I like to base my belief system, my moral values, and my voting record really reflects that. So that's not your vibe, and that's totally cool. But I'm gonna exit this conversation, and or just change the subject after that. Like, that to me is like, then some people will be like, well, sure, I'd be open to it. And then most of the time, though, if you ask that question, people are gonna say no. And then there's like the one,
or they want to debate.
Yeah, and then there's the kind of person where, and I even do this with people who we vote the same. Like, I also have these other aspects of it where it's like, someone will say something and I will just ask a follow-up question. And then I'll be like, so what do you think about then this? And then, so then this. And the way that I will usually do it is, they will be, and if you'll see, they'll see them on the late shows, they'll have like man on the street things, asking people questions that are like probing about their belief system. And they will just really show that it's so flippant in like what standards they hold.
Yeah, but you say that like, this is a Trump quote, and you say it and it's actually like a Biden quote. Yeah. And they just have blinders on, like, they're nothing. The truth doesn't matter to them.
Totally. And I think like, if you feel like you're getting through to someone, or you feel like this person is like just been misled, there's hope. Like, there's getting them back from that. I always ask questions that are kind of like sidestep to the other question. So someone's saying something about, this is why I think this should be the way that it is. And I'd be like, so do you think that, insert other circumstance here, that's the same, but just whether a different race, a different country of origin, a different what? Do you think that's like the same here? Like, do you think that's the same? A lot of the time in immigration, and this is not the conversation I have with people who are the same political belief system, immigrants, people who come and over here from Canada, people who come over, Europeans, and like pointing out that like people can then start to see that like, oh, I'm not holding the same expectation, the same standards for everyone else. And like, it might not resonate them. It might just, at least my thing I like to do is like plant the seed. So when someone else reads something later on that pertains to that same topic, my voice is in the back of their head about something. And so they want to maybe still align with the belief system that they have. And then they're finding it hard that like, oh, actually, the crux of this political party at this point is to be hypocritical. It is to hold different standards, because it is rooted in racism, xenophobia, and bigotry. So you can't actually apply those standards across the board because your party doesn't. And so that can be a big wake-up call for people. And seeing where people on all sides of like the political spectrum, what their biases are, and like what standards and expectations they hold for certain groups of people and not for others, and what rights and liberties they believe are allotted to that. And sometimes people don't even recognize or realize where that's stemming from until someone poses the question to them and they have to figure it out. Because I think, like, who doesn't love to embarrass a bigot? But for someone who you think, like, there's hope, this is like, I can get to them. They're open to learning. They're just misled. Unfortunately, embarrassment is a way to people to, like, really, like, dig their feet in. And so not accusing someone of doing X, Y, and Z or having this thinking X, Y, and Z, but making them think about why they feel that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do agree that, like, your piece at the end of the day is, like, super important. But I also, another great tactic is, and this is when it's like, you're so outnumbered, there's no, you've tried everything else, is people say things, you just give them a funny look and you're like, what an odd thing to say. Is that just, like, what's going through your head, like, at all times? Like, do you watch TV shows? Like, this is, like, you seem like this is, like, really weighing you down, specifically to men, being incredibly patronizing to being like, those are some big feelings. Like, have you ever thought about getting into boxing? Like, I just feel like that chest, you must have so much chest tightness. Like, you look, like, very emotional, very, very emotional, and make it so they don't want to fucking talk about it.
Yep.
But again, I'm respectful is something I'm not.
Yeah. If somebody's making me feel uncomfortable, I don't think that they deserve to feel comfortable.
Without a doubt. Like, without a doubt.
All right. Next one. Just a write-in, a DM to be exact. Hey, Megan and Melissa, I love y'all's podcasts. Anyway, me and my boyfriend are both 20 and we've been together for a year and a half. Over the past few months, we've developed a new aftercare habit that includes asking questions back and forth. This has been really beneficial to our relationship and I want to continue it for the foreseeable future. My issue is that I'm running out of questions to ask. Do you guys have any ideas for questions I can ask? They can be hypothetical, deep, stupid, raunchy. It doesn't matter. Here's some examples of the questions that we ask. What do you love about me, yourself, our relationship? If your friend was terminally ill and the only way to save them was to give them head, do it?
So I was going to say, like, an organ that would cause you to die.
Right. If you can have either a devil or angel on your shoulder, which would you choose? If you were a widow and got married, which wife would you be buried next to? Two good questions.
What are aftercare? Is that like after you fuck or something?
When I hear aftercare, I think after wound. Sex.
Yeah.
I think after sex. Like, you clean up and then you're having pillow talk.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know what.
I didn't know if I was missing something.
Yeah, that's where my mind goes. So maybe it's like after a fight or something.
Or like even like after a day of work to like reconnect, like a daily thing.
So we had this on Directionally Challenged. We have this very thoughtful man on the podcast. The episode isn't out yet, but he is like a filmmaker and his name is Topaz Adizes.
I like
A-D-I-Z-E-S.
Your like qualification for him is like he's a thoughtful man. Like
he is.
No, I know, but it's like he goes on the that's his title. Cause I was like, he goes on The Bachelor and it's just like this man works in business and this one's just thoughtful. And I'm like,
no,
kind.
He does these interviews with people, like documentary style type interviews with people where you ask thoughtful questions.
Oh.
And he just had such a great energy about him. And I don't say that a lot about
men. I trust that implicitly.
But he makes these cards that you can have. As well, like you can ask some like questions to, there's different decks for like friends or your significant other, your parents, things like that. And so this is called Welcome to the And card game. And they have interesting questions on them. Like, how many people do you think I've slept with? What do you think is the easiest thing for me when it comes to money? When was our toughest moment together? What do you treasure about a relationship? Like, it's just like a deck of cards. And I feel like a lot of companies just have like a deck of cards that you can, that have questions on them that you don't have to think too much about. So just get some cards. You don't have to do the work. People have already thought through it. So
this is like who I am as a person to the point where like, I didn't even know that this is something that like wasn't just built into like other people's brains until Matsu and I started dating. And he always goes, you and your goddamn fucking question. He will literally have nights where he'll come home from work. This is prior because now he works from home. But he would literally walk through the door and he'd look at me. He goes, I love you. No hypotheticals tonight. And I was like, okay, I just like, they're fun.
I was thinking about just keeping these cards at the door. And then whenever somebody comes over, I make them do one of these questions.
Oh my God. I love that. Like this is just like, I refer to myself as like chronically curious to the point where like this comes up naturally. The first one that came to my mind that recently just happened was, and this happens all the fucking time. Any movie, any TV show we watch, we are watching Inventing Anna. And I pause the TV and I turn to Mats and I go, you are Rachel. You are in Morocco. You're realizing she has no fucking money. They need a card on file. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You're calling your credit. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I've never been in that situation. I go, I know, but in this case you are. So like, what would you do? And like, I think like taking things from TV shows, like, you know, even like you're watching a reality show of like, okay, this reminds me of this, or you see something on TikTok. It's like, what would you do with this? And like, they can always be like fun kind of questions to get to know someone better. I always like something I always like, would we have been friends in high school? Like, what clique would you have put me with in high school? Like, what are people who you think I would have been friends with that you grew up with? What are they like? And like, what would you have seen in that sense? Like, those are things that are like helpful to get to know a relationship. But like, you know, if you, even silly things of like, if I'm out of town for a week, like what's like the what would you do in the house alone? Like, what would be something that like you would enjoy with? Like, what's your like guiltiest pleasure movie or like piece of content that like you felt so guilty about enjoying that like you actually can't even like acknowledge it or look at it, or you like have this like weird affinity to that you're like, I can't participate in it? Or like, what's a movie that you've walked out of in the theater? Like, what's, if you could like make your perfect, like, is that one?
I literally just pulled one that said, if life right now was a movie, what would the title be?
Yeah. It's like, I always like ones too of being like, if you could cast an Ocean's movie, who would you put as like those eight? Like, who would you do for that? If you could have someone, if you could have anyone go on Z-Way, who would you want and what would you want to ask? Like, if you could be on a fly in the wall of any congressman or whatever, or if you could go back in time to any like historical event that you could witness firsthand, knowing that you wouldn't be harmed in it, what would you want to be there for? What would you want to know?
Change the situation.
Yeah.
You can't change history.
Like, if you could know one unsolved mystery in the world, but you can't share it with anyone that you know the truth, what one would you want to know? When I tell you, I am full of them, because this is just how my brain works. This is how I get to know people. Like, I'm not asking people, where'd you go to school? Like, what was your major? Like, I'm like, so if this happened, then this happened, then this happened. Like, and I would also just like encourage you, like, just let them come to you, in the sense that like, if you, something you found interesting, you can just write it down on your phone, and it doesn't have to be in the phrasing of a question. And then the question can come to you later. But yeah, like, I just think that like, when you like someone a lot, you love someone, you care about them, I always want to know people who I care about's like opinions or thoughts or feelings on things. Like, it's just, it's interesting. Or if you were going to go to the, if you could be, I was, when I ask all the time, people like, if you could be a like meddling Olympic professional, fantastic fucking athlete, like just one day you could pick one up, what would you pick? And it's interesting to hear people's answers, because some people are picking like F1, which is wildly fucking dangerous, but you're making
F1 an Olympic.
Well, not Olympic. Sport. I mean, meddling in the sense of like, it could be Olympic meddling, but it could be just like a professional sport where you can place things. And a lot of people like say F1 because it's like so glamorous and glitzy and rich and you make so much money, but it's so fucking dangerous. But then I'll ask like Matsu's questions, and like sometimes I'll be like, well, I'm not going to pick something where like I'm at risk for like a brain injury. Like, if I want to make a ton of money, I want something that's going to offer me like stability and comfort, because he's a Capricorn and he's like, let's be regimented about these decisions.
And see, I'm just thinking about the fun of it.
Me too. I'm thinking about like, what's going to get me on a cereal box?
That luge thing, you just lay down, do that. That looks fun as hell, but it scares me in real life.
And see, I would, Monster would be like, oh, you would want to do ice skating. I go, no, because I am so fucking afraid of those blades on that ice. Like, it would be great if I was good at it, but my fear and why I don't do it, because I'm afraid of those blades on that ice, that I don't think that would go away if I was good at it. So I think that's a fun one. Oh, even like, I was going to say simple ones of like, if you could learn how to cook, like, one thing. Matt's gonna do that every year, of like something that we want to learn how to make from scratch, like a specific meal. gives like good goal-oriented ones. Oh, you're so lucky that your partner is like encouraging of this. Mats is like fine with it, but like he literally always like, if he's like pretending to be me, he goes, if I was a worm and I had no body parts and you couldn't speak to me and I didn't look the same and I didn't have the same personality and I was just a worm who was just there, like, would you still love me forever? I'm like, so would you? Like, just a fucking question.
Oh God.
No, I know. I'm like, it's just how my brain works.
All right. That's the end of the episode.
Hell yeah. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, you can always leave us a review on the podcast app. You can also leave us a episode specific review on Spotify. And you can also check us out on Amazon Music because we are featured.
We are featured.
Hey.
We're featured.
I saw your text message.
We're
about
like
that.
Two rows under Kiki.
I was just about to say, I saw that when I was out and about. And I was like, as soon as I went to click the link, I saw Kiki first. And I said, good fucking company. We are in good company. So thanks for fun. Thank you, Daddy Bezos. And, you know, big fan. Yeah. So you can always follow us on socials, our Instagram account, our TikTok, which I think it still exists. And it's okay.
I don't think we've posted anything since Halloween of 2022.
And you know what? Time is a circle. And that's all I'll be saying about that. That's all the comments I have on that. And join our Patreon, watch the video version, and then stay tuned because this is only beginning. We have multiple episodes. We have content for you 4 days a week. So tomorrow we have See You Next Tuesday, which is our fun catch-up one. And I've written down that...
I was going to say, sorry we didn't have one last week, but
yes,
things happen.
And the thing that happened was...
It was a numerous things. It was you were like, can we push an hour? Yeah. And then it was my computers didn't work. And then we ran out of time.
Yeah, that was it. And then we didn't... There was no time to catch up on it. So we're sorry for everyone who didn't get your fix of us. But yeah, then we have no episode on Wednesday. We give you a little bit of a break. And then Thursday we have our episode or our podcast called
But Am I Wrong?
It's called But Am I Wrong? Where we tell you if you're wrong and talk about other people. It's ethical gossip shit talking. And then Friday we have Fisting Friday, which is the results from our prior episode of But Am I Wrong? And we give like little updates, mini updates. You know, if you like the update in this episode, like we do a lot of those in that one for that podcast. And it's a grand old time.
You're really in this Irish bag right now.
What can I say?
Or should I say pot of gold?
Exactly.
At the end of the rainbow.
Exactly. My stature, not so Irish. Nah. No. My eyes, not so Irish. Those are the things. My eyes and my height.
But your heart.
Oh my God, this heart beats for Ireland, like without a fucking doubt. Anyways.
All right. Well, have a blessed day.
Goodbye. Don't Blame Me is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa DeMonts, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production sound and editing by Coco Lorenz.
Production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
And music by Giacomo Picasso and Ryan Hunter.